plate a potential nugget.
And just picking up on that piece around helping players become better people, in the book, you also talk at length about the notion of personal mastery, not just professional mastery. And you talk about Sachin Tendulkar as an individual who's pursued personal mastery along with professional mastery. I'm curious about what are some of the things that you saw him do which enabled him to go on this quest of mastery?
You know, I think if you take Sachin as probably the prime example, and maybe more recently you'd have Dhoni and Kohli, who's similar examples of people who have reached such high levels of fame in a country of over a billion people where there is an absolute fanaticism, not only for cricket, but for cricketers. So these guys, and Sachin obviously at the time was a, you know, and still is a demigod in the country. And Sachin would, it was difficult to see what he did in his own private time, but I was able to see the fruits of him keeping his feet in the ground and having personal mastery as an intentional pursuit. And, you know, I mentioned the book, and in fact, Sachin told the story of himself when he first made the Indian cricket team as a 16-year-old. And when he came back from that tour, one of his teammates and very good friends saying to him that, you know, Sachin, we recognize you're a better cricketer than us, but since you made the Indian team, you're acting as if you're a more important person than us. And as a group of friends, we don't like that. And Sachin highlights that as one of the high moments or in his career, one of the most significant, moments in his career, when he was really able to realize the difference between being a good cricketer and being a human being, where, yes, he was a great cricketer, but it doesn't mean that he is now a great human being or superior or more important human being to his friends. And at the time, he also mentioned that his father had spoken to him about that, you know, your results on the field, people will very quickly forget them. If you score 100 and you score the naught the next week, they'll forget your 100. Or you score a naught and you score 100 the following week, people will forget that. But they will always remember the impact you have on them as a person. So from a young age, his father had delivered that message. Then it was reinforced as a 16-year-old by his friends saying, who you are as a person is separate from the results you achieve on the sports field. And with Sachin having that awareness and being such a consummate professional and someone who leaves no stone unturned, literally on a daily basis to try and improve who he is as a person and who he is as a cricketer, he was very intentional about improving his game of cricket. I never saw anyone prepare better and more intentionally than Sachin Tendulkar, literally day in, day out, week in and week out. And, you know, I was with him from his 18th to 21st year of international cricket, and he was still probably the most diligent practicer of the lot. But at the same time, because of the heights of fame that he had received, in order to keep himself grounded, he would, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in the heights of fame and get blinded by the limelight. Because what happens to these athletes, and I see it also with very successful and higher profile businessmen, is people around them treat them, give them special treatments, treat them as VIPs, very important people, or VIPs. And they start to think, because they're treated as special people, they start to think that they are special people. But the reality is, as human beings, we are all just human beings. And the talents we have, we all have different talents, but that's separate to who we are as a person. And Sachin was just someone who understood that I have a special talent to hit a cricket ball, but that doesn't mean I'm a special person. It means I'm a talented cricketer who needs to also work on being a good person. And I think in this day and age, what we're seeing is athletes are being more and more exposed for who they are as people. Where I certainly know, being involved in international cricket 25 years ago, a really talented cricketer could be an unsavory character, and only the people in immediate surroundings might experience that person as being very selfish or very divisive or, you know, an unsavory, whatever it might be. And the greater population never really got to know about that, so they often got away with it. But in this day and age with social media and cell phone cameras, and every time someone goes in the public, their behavior is seen and recorded. And if they, even if it's not recorded on a camera, someone should see someone's unsavory behavior. They can always put that out, a post on social media, and share it with everyone. So players' behavior is far more closely scrutinized today. So it's even more important that individuals work, successful individuals understand and work on who they are as people, and at the same time as they continue working on whatever their professional talent or skill is. And we're seeing in the cricket world now, you know, those individuals who are known as divisive or not really team men or overly selfish, they're actually, even though they're highly talented, they're actually not getting picked, for example, in some of these T20 leagues or in teams in these T20 leagues, because they're known to be people who might undermine a team culture, which, you know, goes back to what we're talking about with the Indian cricket team. You know, if you've got a really divisive individual, I think what Jack Welch in his book spoke about, you know, a cancer in the team, you want to be able to, you want to be removing that, or not employing it, or not hiring it, or removing it as quick as possible before it actually spreads and starts contaminating the rest of the system.
And as a mental conditioning coach, Paddy, what are some of the things you did on the non-cricketing stuff? Going back to the notion of personal mastery, what are one of the two things you did as a mental conditioning coach for people to go on a journey there?
That would just be a personal conversations, asking players, for example, one day when you leave the sport or when you retire, I would ask players to actually write down, if you have a really great career where you deliver on all of your potential, both on and off the field, what would you love people to say about you? And I would ask people to write down, what do you want your teammates to say about you? So they could make it explicit, what does it look like when I'm a great team man? What do your coaches want to say about you? What do you want your competitors to say about you? You know, that he was, you know, a really nasty person who verbally abused and sledged us. Or do you want to say he was a very fair competitor, and although he was tough, I really respect the individual. I asked them what they wanted their friends to say about them. You know, some players rise to fame and I speak to their friends and they say, well, you know, he's no longer a friend anymore now that he's famous and he thinks he's better than we are. Or even no matter how famous he's got, he's actually still the same person. He's still a great friend. He's still really generous. And, you know, we really support him, because at some point, every celebrity is going to fall off the center stage and out of the limelight. And that's where you really need your friends. I'd ask them what their family wanted to say, what they wanted their kids to say about them. You know, dad was very successful, but he was never home. And then I would also get players to write, if you got things wrong, what would people say to you? And what would you not want these various people to say to you? The example I've given already, you know, you wouldn't want someone, your kids, to say to you, you were so successful, but you were never at home. Or when you're at home, you're never really there for us. You're always on your phone, you know. So I would get players to project to the end of their career and understand what would be a great scenario and what would be an unfortunate scenario. And then I would get players to reflect, well, where are you at the moment if you were to retire now with regards to that unfortunate and that great scenario? And most players were at a 5, 6, 7 out of 10. If 10 out of 10 was, I'm at my perfect scenario. So then the conversation would be in all those different areas of your life, none of them cricket related, with regards being a parent, with regards being a friend, with regards managing your health, being a competitor. How could you be even a better person than what you are at the moment? So that would be one exercise that I might do. I would ask people to define success. You know, and more often than not, people would, Edward, they would be stuck with that question. They've never really thought about what success is. You know, is it making the Indian cricket team, winning a World Cup, having X crore rupees in your bank account? Or, you know, what would success look like? And when we start looking at all the material and measurable or tangible measures of success, what most people realize is how incomplete that measure of success is. And then, you know, they start adding things like, well, the amount of, you know, love that I have maybe in my life with one people close to me, the amount of joy, the amount of contentment or peace or in my life or security or whatever might be important. And then we go, okay, so how would you go in the pursuit of that? And you realize you go in the pursuit of joy and peace in a very different way. It's an inward journey rather than an outward journey. So there is a number, there's so many amazing ways out there to get people to just pause for a moment and reflect on who are you being and how in your life and how well are you managing in the area of being as opposed to doing.
I'm a big believer that leadership is not just about what you're doing, but as much about who you're being. If that's the case, it really matters how you show up at work and in the various domains of life. To that point, I do think it's difficult to isolate professional mastery and personal mastery. I do think they go hand in hand. One is about evolving on the doing front, the other is about evolving on the being front. I spoke to the former world number one in chess, Vishy Anand, on this podcast, and he spoke about how he tried to stay grounded as he reached stratospheric heights in the game.
Well, what am I supposed to do exactly differently? I sort of understand what you're saying, but I found that quite a lot of people that are famous or successful remain in some fundamental way the way they are. I think it's connected to upbringing. My parents brought me up in a certain way. There were certain things that they did and there are certain things that are obvious that they wouldn't do. And you kind of approach it like that. And essentially, with your family, with your schoolmates, you can't suddenly act differently. Because they'll immediately just say, well, what's wrong with you? So you have to act normal. With fans and so on, it's not like I make a huge effort, but I make an effort to be friendly and nice because at some level I'm aware that I have a job because of them. I don't think it's not obvious to me what exactly I should do differently. There are times I feel that I'm trying too hard to be nice and the people are invading my space, and then sometimes the next time I'll try to impose it a bit more.
Sure.
But generally, I do what I'm comfortable with, and I'm a fairly relaxed person as such. And I don't like getting in conflicts with people, and so I gravitate to that approach.
The one thing I've noticed is that people who do this naturally often struggle to break down what they're doing. But you can hear from the tone of the voice how grounded he is as a person in the way he comes across. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com or transitioninsight.com. Thank you.